Okay, good evening everyone. I'm broadcasting live November 14th, 2015. Today I was in Toronto for the inauguration or the promotion ceremony at a Chinese monastery. They have a new abbot. And the abbot is a very good, well, a friend of mine, someone who's becoming a very good friend. We're good friends at this point. So he invited a bunch of monks, and I was one of them. And it was quite the ceremony. They have intricate ceremonies in that tradition. But it was quite well done. And then they gave us lunch, which wasn't nearly as well organized as the actual ceremony. But I think they were so busy trying to perfect the ceremony that, anyway, it was all good. And then rushed back just in time to teach, to lead this, or to help with this presentation to the Residence Life Council, which is all these people who look after the first years in residence. And people came from all over Canada, actually, from various universities. So these are undergrad university students who work for their universities to support new students. And so we had a 50-minute presentation. I talked for about 25 minutes. And it was good. It went really well. They were quite appreciative. A few people actually came up to me afterwards and in the hallway and took my booklet and took my card and are interested in getting and learning more. One man from Dubai, actually, he's, I guess, he's an immigrant, that means. And he was saying in Dubai it's very, very consumeristic, materialistic. And so he just wants to get away from that lifestyle. He wants to simplify his life, give up his possessions, and so on. So we had a good talk. That's about it. That's what happened in the Dhamma today. Anything new and exciting with you, Robin?
No, I watched a lot of the news out of Paris today. It was
Paris, right. I heard last night we were having a bonfire. Oh, that's another thing. Last night we had a bonfire. That's why I wasn't here. And right, there was something in Paris. What happened?
There were, I think, 7 or 8 coordinated ISIS terrorists who 3 blew themselves up and others shot
blew
people.
Blew themselves up and shot people.
Yeah, 129 people dead. And
129.
So, over 500 people involved, injured or killed, one way or another. So it's very sad.
It is very sad. There's a line in a song by this Canadian band that goes, "What makes a person so poisonous righteous that they'll send hell to anyone who just disagrees?"
That's a good line.
It's an interesting song. It's a cappella. They did a lot of a cappella songs. And it starts off, it's about the war in the Gulf, actually. So it's not taking sides, I don't think, but it says, we got a call to write a song about the war in the Gulf, but we couldn't hurt anyone's feelings. So we tried, then gave up, because there was no such song. But the trying was very revealing. What makes a person so poisonous righteous that they'll send hell to anyone who just disagrees? So I don't know about the war in the Gulf. I'm not quite sure what they're referring to, but I get the sentiment. It's a really good question. I mean, the answer is it's not like it's hard to understand. It's just amazing how sad. That's the saddest part, that people would be so poisonous righteous.
Of course, and then of course the response is, you know, so many people are saying, well, we have to go and, you know, and kill these people. But of course that's only going to, that's only going to just perpetuate this over and over.
But I think the point is you have to turn to the people who are rational. And I don't think that's the people who are going to respond with violence. I mean, to some extent you have to understand that the people on the other side are complicit and responsible, and there's a lot of, I think, interest in war and fear and that kind of thing. It sells, and people, the arms industry, politicians tend to like it because it makes people vote for them. It's a good way of controlling people, control them through fear. So we have to be clear where we stand, I think. And we can't take sides. Ever. We take sides ideologically. We should take an ideological side in the sense that violence is wrong, instilling fear in people is wrong, bigotry is wrong, arrogance, righteousness, all of these things are wrong. Well, not righteousness, but this arrogance. Righteousness actually is good, but it has to be truly righteous. There's the idea of being self-righteous, which is this sense of you're right because you think it. And that's the only reason, right? It's right because I think it. I'm right. You can't be right, right? It's the ideas you have are either right or wrong. The rightness exists in the ideas intrinsically. It's nothing to do with you being right. Well, I mean, there is that, but focusing on that is the problem when you feel conceited because you're right. I guess we also should talk about not being afraid of death, because terrorism relies on people being afraid. I mean, killing 100 and some people is not going to change the world, right? But it will if everyone gets very afraid of it. So, I mean, I don't know whether that sounds kind of cruel, but my point being it's, this doesn't a war make. It's a horrible thing that 100 and some people died. I mean, that's just really horrific, but, I mean, the tsunami was far more horrific. That tsunami and that devastated Asia, right? It was far worse.
Yeah, the president of France called it an act of war, and the Pope said it was the start of World War III.
Uh-huh. It may very well be. I mean, that could be what's happening, because, I mean, the point is we don't have bad guys on one side and good guys on another. The bad guys on the other, on our side, are going to push for war, I suppose. I suppose there's probably a general sense of not wanting to go to war. I don't know how it is now as of yesterday. That's a big deal, right?
Yeah. You know, and not so long ago, I mean, in the United States, you know, people were burnt out of war, but probably within the last week with ISIS had bombed a Russian plane, and now this, within 1 week's time, it frightens people, changes things.
It's not good for Bernie Sanders. He's
No, it's not good at all for Bernie Sanders. Poor Bernie. You're having a Democratic debate tonight, and it was supposed to be an economic debate. And in that, Bernie would have, you know, really shown that's really his thing. And they switched gears, and they're making the focus foreign relations due to this incident. And they said on the news one of his aides flipped out or something because he didn't want that. I'm not sure if it was exactly what it was, but they portrayed him very poorly. They said his aide flipped out about the change in questioning or something. So, yeah. Probably won't be his best night.
Well, I guess, I mean, the point is that he's very anti-war. he's a good guy. He seems to be one of us, no?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So now that if people are starting to want to go to war, that's not good for...
Yes.
Not good for the peace movement.
Yes, and people wanting to talk about, you know, this as the focus of tonight's debate, that won't really
That's terrible. You almost wouldn't want to say it's a conspiracy against him. Oh, well. We're all going to die anyway. The earth is... slowly but surely moving closer to the sun, or is the sun going to explode? I can't remember which it is. I think the sun's going to explode first and burn us all to a crisp. obviously we won't be here. But if you are, well, you'll be burned to a crisp. Actually, I think what'll happen is all the water will evaporate first, right? So you'll die of thirst. I don't know what you'll die of. You'll die, though. There's a good Jataka quote. The outcast and the well-born, the fool and eke the wise. For rich or poor, one end is sure, each man among them dies.
Very true.
Do we have any questions tonight?
I think we do. Venerable Bhante, in Satipatthana Sutta, what is the meaning of observing the body internally, externally, and both internally and externally? I understand observing body internally, but not very clear on what is observing body externally means.
Well, there's two senses in which it could be understood. I think the commentary favors the interpretation of the internal and external sense bases. So there are, the eye is internal and sights are external. So if you say light, then you're focusing on the external aspect. If you say eye, I mean, you wouldn't really say these things, but if you focus on, when you say seeing, if you're aware of the eye seeing, then that's internal. If you're aware of what you see, the light, that's external. It just means there's two aspects. Or when you hear, there is the, if you're aware of the ear hearing, that's the internal. If you're aware of the sound, it's just your focus. It can be both. Give me one or the other, it can be both. That's one way of interpreting. But the other one is, if you look at the Satipatthana Sutta, there are certain sections that are external. Not many of them, but there's the section on the cemetery contemplations. So that's mindfulness of someone else's body. It's mindfulness of an external body. And so that word internally and externally, or both internally and externally, that phrase occurs at the end of each section. But this kind of happens in Pali where they just repeat it. It's just repeated after the end of each section, even though it only applies to certain sections. So it may very well be that all that means is in this sutta, there are certain sections that are external and certain that are internal. Of course, most of them are internal. But you could think of ways in which you could be aware of external feelings and thoughts and emotions. If you're aware of someone else, you watch them get angry, that's kind of a mindfulness, or it could be. But it's conceptual. That's not vipassana. That won't work for vipassana, but it would work in certain instances for samatha. Or it works for general mental development in terms of seeing how anger affects other people, for example, seeing how greed affects other people. It's something you can be mindful of, you know, theoretically or conceptually mindful of, and can help you in your spiritual development. It's not vipassana. But the Satipatthana Sutta isn't just vipassana.
How about movement, walking, sitting? Is that internal or external?
That's internal. The body is internal, but external is the... So if you, when you touch the floor aspect, the hardness aspect comes from the floor. The softness from the foot is internal, but the hardness from the floor is external. When your teeth go together, they're both hard, that's both internal. But if you put a spoon in your mouth and you bite on that, or food, if you put food in your mouth and you bite on that, the food is external. I mean, it gets blurred there because the food becomes internal, but it might be considered internal at that point.
Okay, thank you, Bhante. A comment that we might cross Andromeda and the Milky Way will collapse with it before the sun turns nova in a matter of billions of years. Perhaps.
Okay. I'll put that on my calendar.
One of those perpetual calendars for billions of years from now. I'm not sure if this is a question for you, Bhante, or just the general discussion about the sun and all, but when that happens, I wonder if people will be reborn in the nearest M-class planet, wherever that is.
Wondering.
Yes, wondering what an M-class planet is.
Wondering.
And someone asking, will you be answering questions on here? Yes, submit your question.
I wonder if they're not getting the audio or video. Maybe you can post a link to the YouTube?
Sure.
Do you have the link, or only I do, right?
I can get it through YouTube.
Well, I got it here. Copy. Paste. But the YouTube is like, what, 30 seconds behind or something?
Yeah. So how was the bonfire?
It was good. No one came, but it was good. We had two new people come, and they left early. We started talking about some fairly theoretical stuff, and then they just got up and left, said goodbye. And we wonder, oh, did we scare them away? I don't know. Well, we stayed for 2 hours. You know, it's an interesting group. They're not all meditators, and most of them are interested in meditation. But we had about six or eight people.
Well, that's good. It sounds nice.
Yeah, it was nice. We did talk about the idea of doing public meditations in the student center. There's a big open area where there's a huge crowds of people walking through, and we could just sit down and do meditation in the public space there. We could even just use it to teach meditation, like I could teach people as they came in. And then if we got a group going, we could start doing flash mobs, meditation flash mobs, where we, did you ever see that video we did in Winnipeg?
We did.
Yeah. I walked in, sat down, then 30 seconds later a second person came and sat down, and 30 seconds, we added a person every 30 seconds. It was only about 20 of us, but you know, it was fun.
Yeah. It definitely sounds a little more comfortable in the student center than outdoors this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe we'll try that. It's just a matter of scheduling.
Darwin explained M-class planet is life-supporting planet. Thank you, Darwin. I hadn't heard that term before. What is a good strategy when trying to get people to meditate? Friends and family.
Acknowledge your desire for other people to meditate. That's important. Because I can't think of a good strategy. It's not about getting people to meditate. Meditation's hard. If you don't really want to do it, it's not really likely to succeed. Maybe that's pessimistic, but I can't help but be a bit pessimistic or skeptical. Because you can get people to do a little bit of meditation, but you find you're pushing them and it's effort, and then they just give it up anyway. If a person wants to do it, it's something that you won't need to push them. I think a good strategy is to talk about it, but not have any emotional vestedness, you know? Like don't let it get to you emotionally, like I want them to meditate. Just do it as a matter of course. Of course you're going to tell people to meditate. Of course you're going to talk about it. Don't be afraid to talk about it.
It's so hard when you see someone who is struggling and you know how much it would help them. But
that's the thing, is for many people it wouldn't help them. They'd try to practice and they'd fail. And they'd get discouraged. And yeah, it would help people if they suddenly had no more defilements, but it's getting from here to there. For most people, it's just too far.
So you have to be ready for it, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have some potentiality. We don't have time or resources to bring people from 0 to 100. And it's not really in the best interest to do so. You're better off taking people who are really ready, because they'll turn around and help the people who are less ready and less ready and so on, and it'll work like that.
That makes sense. How can one truly become enlightened if no matter how much he meditates, he will still require food?
Is this a person who's done some meditation with us?
I think this is a new person.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask that. I'm going to wait. I'm going to skip this question and say, you have to start meditating with us if you want me to answer your questions. It's not a hard and fast rule, but I want you to be meditating before you ask this question. Maybe you have started meditating, but you should read my booklet if you haven't. And if you have, or once you have, then start meditating. And come back when you're green. Because your question thing is yellow or orange, which means you haven't meditated. Why? Because the question, it's a question is a little bit, has to have a nuanced answer, and it's a question that may be not coming from lack of information or lack of understanding about meditation. So I want to be sure that you understand meditation before you ask that, if you want to ask. Maybe you'll meditate and you'll say, oh, well, I don't need to ask that anymore.
I think that's why the people who have been meditating for a while, they ask fewer questions.
Yeah. Yeah, in the meditation course, that happens. The beginner meditators, you have a lot to tell them, to explain, and you have to guide them. But as they get on in the course, there's really less and less for you to do, except just confirm that they're doing okay and give them the new exercise. Someone asked me, and this man from Dubai asked me, he asked a question in the group, whether it's okay to listen to music when you meditate. And so I explained, I said, well, it depends what you mean by meditation, but in our meditation, we're trying to become objective. So everything is music. And the point is that if you are partial towards the music and the music makes it easier for you to focus. Actually, he asked this, and in the beginning I just said it like that, but then he came up later and he said, well, the music is like nature music with waterfalls and that kind of thing. And I said, well, if it makes it easier for you to focus, then it's a crutch for you. And that we're not interested in that. We're interested in how you react when it's difficult. We could make it very, very easy to meditate. One meditator here recently, always meditators will try to find a trick or a way to make the meditation easier. And I said to him, well, I can make it really easy for you. And he said, yeah, you can. I said, yeah, you do 10 minutes of lying meditation a day, and that's your meditation. Very easy. But what do you get from it? You get nothing. We're trying to make it more difficult. We're trying to challenge ourselves. We're trying to see what happens, and we're trying to learn how we react when the going gets tough so that we can change the way we react. If you don't have things that trigger you, then you'll never learn how to overcome the trigger. So making it easy to meditate is not useful.
It's great that someone from Dubai is interested in meditation. I mean, everything is so, flashy and, so many spectacular things there. So it's great that somebody is interested in something that, isn't impressed by that. I find it easier to note experiences during walking meditation quietly out loud. Is this okay? Thanks.
Yeah, again, you find it easier, then that's something that you shouldn't do. We're not trying to make it easy. We're trying to be trying to get stronger. You'll never get stronger if you just make it easier on yourself. So it's okay, but it's less useful. I'm It's also distracting because then your mind isn't with the object, it's with your mouth, it's at your mouth. It's mixed up trying to walk and talk at the same time. Your mind is doing two things. Easy way to get more distracted. You want to make it easy, stop doing walking meditation, just start dancing. Turn on some music and start dancing, that'll be easy. Right? And shout out the lyrics to the song. But it's not about making it easy. It's actually more about making it fairly difficult. Not to the extent that you should punch yourself to understand pain or something. But difficult in the sense of patience, requiring patience and focus.
But if something is so distracting you that it won't leave you, then don't you recommend to stand and note that for a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, that's only because, again, walking and noting something else are too diverse. It's better to be focused on one thing, so stopping makes sense. Caught up.
I think we're all caught up, aren't they?
Okay. Well then, good night, everyone.
Thank you, Bhante.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Robin, for your help.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.